Hey, this is Leo for Actualized.org. And in this episode, I'm going to talk about the roles you play and how to drop them. You wear a mask for so long, you forget who you were beneath it. A quote by Alan Moore. Have you noticed yet that people tend to live their life acting out roles? Acting out roles that are obvious to everyone around them, but are opaque to themselves. And of course, when I talk about people, I'm talking about you. You're doing this, you're playing a role without knowing or being conscious of the fact that you're playing this role and that this role is actually a contrivance. So what I want to help you to do is to see that in yourself and possibly to start to move towards dropping it, just outright dropping it, so that you can live more authentically. So what do I mean by roles? Well, I'm going to give you a long list of many examples of roles, so you'll have a very clear idea. But in the abstract, what I mean by a role is sort of like this costume that you put on, this character that you are, that you somehow picked up probably in your childhood or in your teenage years or early adulthood, and now you're wearing this costume and you've confused this costume for your authentic personality. In the same way that you have goth kids, you remember the goth kids in high school? Maybe you were one of them, hopefully not, but you probably know that stereotype, right? So we got the goth kids. Now these goth kids, they do their goth thing, they put on their goth makeup and they wear their goth clothes and they think that they're cool and whatever, they're different, that they're unique, but when you look at it, it just seems so contrived. It seems so silly and pointless. It seems like a bunch of apes at the zoo who have been rummaging through some, you know, circus costumes and have put them on, and now they're walking around in a tuxedo. It's like an ape walking around in a tuxedo thinking that it's now this hotshot ape, when really it's as absurd as an ape can get. That's what it is. So I want to help you to see that in yourself. Imagine, if you will, an alien looking down on the Earth from outer space. And he looks at the entire narrative of your life. And he can clearly spot the role that you are playing. What would that be for you? Can you start to suspect what your own contrivances might be? And how silly they are, and yet how seriously you take them. Some of these roles could be personal. Some of these roles could be cultural. Some of these roles could be related to career or to business or to family life and so forth. There's a lot of different subcultures and sub-subcultures that we find throughout society. And a lot of that you're going to see in all these different stereotypes that I'm going to throw at you here. I've taken a while to brainstorm a big, big list of roles, a lot of stereotypes, a lot of research went into this. Some of these are fun, so it's going to be a fun episode because mostly I'm just going to be listing all these roles. Now, what I want you to do is I want you to sit there and to listen to these. And even though there's going to be a lot of them, and you might have various judgments that come up, and you can probably spot these roles in a bunch of your friends and family members and coworkers and so forth, people you've known. What I really want you to do is to listen for that one or two or three roles that really sticks for you, that you feel that you've been embodying for a good chunk of your life. And what you should be looking for is just sort of like aha moment where it's like, oh yeah, that's it. That's the role I'm playing. You got me. That's exactly what I've been doing, but I wasn't conscious that I was doing it. I hadn't put a label on it yet. I hadn't realized that there is this role. I thought that that's just how life is. I thought that that's what it means to be a human being. But no, it's just a role. So listen close as I go down this list. This is fun. The perfectionist, the rebel, or the iconoclast, or the nonconformist, Mr. Macho, or the alpha male. This one's very common. Or Mr. Cool, or Mr. Suave, or Mr. James Bond. the bad boy, or the badass, the winner, the loser, the moocher, or the haggler, or the penny pincher, the player, the nice guy, or the nice girl, or the doormat, the victim, or the wounded bird, or the mistreated one, the abused one, the whiner, the know-it-all, or the smartass, or the whippersnapper, the professional, or the respectable businessman, the responsible one, the dependable one, the mysterious one, the cynic, the skeptic, the socialite, the attention whore, or the show-off, the drill sergeant, or the rule keeper, or the enforcer of the law, the crusader, the martyr, the shy guy, or the wallflower, the nerd, or the geek, the care bear, or the bleeding heart, the vixen, or the slut, the virgin, the tormented artist, or the starving artist, the achiever, the guru, the free spirit, the team player, the addict, the vegan, the bohemian, the environmentalist, the rationalist, the scientist, the philosopher, the libertarian, the anarchist, the intellectual, the mastermind, the knight in shining armor, the grumpy old man, the desperate housewife, the soccer mom, the alpha businesswoman, the lone wolf, the prima donna, or the drama queen, or the diva, the fuck-up, or the black sheep in the family, or the prodigal son, the golden boy, the try-hard, the gentleman or the lady, the good Christian or the born-again Christian, the sinner, the celebrity, the hero, the villain, the oppressed minority, the misunderstood genius, the conspiracy theorist, the exemplary mother or father, or the opposite of that, which is the terrible mother or father, the critic or the snob, the outcast, the guardian and defender of truth, the savior of humanity or the chosen one, the joker, the underdog, the slick salesman or the wheeler and dealer, the creative genius, the schemer, the hippie, the trickster, the hipster, the avant-garde, the artsy-fartsy artist, the frat boy, the gym rat, the jock, the hotshot, the airhead, the alcoholic, the clown, the new ager or the flower child, the idealist, the rags-to-riches story, the metrosexual, the flamboyant gay, the confused and tormented homosexual, the preacher tending to his flock, the healer or the shaman, the jolly fat guy, the patriot, the American, the Arab, the Jew, the Hindu. So that's a list of some of the roles. Did any of those stand out for you? If they did, good, jot that down, keep it in your mind. It's a gut feeling you have of like, oh shit, I've been caught. It's like I've spent the last 10 or 20 years playing this role, and now it's like, oh, I've been caught. That's what I've been doing. That's exactly what I've been doing. I've been playing the role of the perfectionist in my relationships, in business, in my art, in my family. I was the perfectionist the whole time. Or it's like, no, I've been playing the role of the wounded bird. In my relationships, I was the wounded bird. I keep being the wounded bird. with my, you know, everything I do with my career. It's like, I'm always the victim. Someone's always hurting me. Someone's always doing something to me. Someone's always sabotaging me. I'm the wounded bird. Or like with my health, I'm the wounded bird. I've been having just like health problems over and over and over. And that's turned into an identity that I now embody and that I actually feel as myself. And I live that way. The question I have for you is, who were you before these roles? Before you picked up this role. And you did pick it up. You weren't born with it. You picked it up. In fact, what I'd like you to do right now is just for a few seconds, close your eyes. Think of this role, whichever role that you feel you embody the most in your life. Pick one. And now go back to a time in your life before the role was adopted. And remember how different life was before the role. Let some of those memories, those early memories, come back to you. What was it like when you were living without any roles? Can you remember? Can you pinpoint the moment when you started to adopt this role that you play? There was a moment where it started to come into existence, and it was still new. You had to create it. You had to put on this costume, and at first it probably didn't feel quite right, didn't feel authentic. But over time, you just put it on over and over and over again until you forgot that it was a costume to begin with. Okay. Go ahead and open your eyes. I'll have a worksheet for you that you can use to go deeper and to really explore this. But what I just want to say here is that, why do you need this role? What function does it serve? Could you start to let it go? What would your life look like if you did let it go? Who would you become? This is a key theme of personal development work, is shedding the artificial layers, taking off the masks, taking off the costumes, recognizing our own contrivances, and calling them out for what they are, and sorting that out from our authentic personalities, from our authentic motivations, our authentic values. And if you had a healthy childhood, then that's something you can use as an anchor point. If your childhood was healthy, you still probably adopted roles. Just later on in life, maybe in your teenage years, in middle school, maybe in high school. But in elementary school, you're probably relatively pure. And that's something you can come back to and anchor yourself in that, in those memories, to remember of like, oh yeah, that's what it was like to be somewhat of an authentic human being. And then I got corrupted by all this nonsense, by society, by my parents, and so forth. Now, if you did not have a relatively normal childhood, and your childhood was traumatic and abusive, and that means you adopted a role very early on. And in fact, your earliest memories might be so toxic and distorted that already you don't know what it's like to feel that authentic, pure, clean slate that you started life with, right? You might not have those memories, in which case you're in a more difficult situation. Now, that doesn't mean you can't drop your role. You can still drop your role. It'll just take more work because you don't have those memories as an anchor point that you can go back to, right? You can still drop them. That's okay. But this is just something that I want you to be aware of. The way that you drop a role is first and foremost of just becoming aware of it and just seeing how artificial and contrived it is, until it's like you're that goth kid in high school who's putting all on all this goth makeup and stuff, and then one day you realize, like, wait a minute, why the fuck am I doing this? This is so silly and stupid. I'm like that ape putting on a tuxedo, walking around like he's James Bond, thinking that he's the ladies' man, right? When he really is just an ape in a tuxedo. When it becomes that transparent to you, you can see the ridiculousness, the absurdity of it, then it'll naturally just kind of wither away and fall off on its own. But to help you do that, I do have a worksheet. So this is the end of the episode. It's going to be short and simple. All I really wanted to do is just share this list with you, but do the worksheet, because the worksheet has some powerful questions, and I want you to really think about what these questions are pointing you to. Do a little bit of journaling and brainstorming about this so that you can get very clear about the inauthenticities that you act out every day in your life. So make sure you do that worksheet. All right, that's it. I'm signing off. Please click the like button for me, post your comments down below, share this episode with a friend, and lastly, come check out actualize.org right here. This is my website. I have some cool stuff on there. I have free resources. There's a forum. There's a new blog that I recently launched, which has some more advanced and miscellaneous insights that I don't get to share with you via the videos. So check all that out. But most importantly, just stay tuned. Stay tuned for more and start doing the work that this theory is pointing you to. What I share with you is largely theory. I'm a conceptual kind of guy. And also, because of the format that we're in, we're talking. That's all I can really do to you is just talk. So, of course, it's going to be all theoretical. What I need you to do, if you really like the theory, and if you're following it because you like some of the advanced concepts I'm sharing with you, and they're kind of interesting and fascinating, and maybe you're a philosophically minded type of person, here's what you got to do. You got to start doing the work. Do the work. You can't just listen to theory all the time. If you're a fan of the theory and you're a conceptual person like me and you're a philosophically minded person like me, the cost that you need to pay is to do the work. That's the cost of being a philosopher. You cannot just be a philosopher sitting on your ass listening to theory all day and reading a bunch of books, right? That way lies a lot of misery and ultimately self-destruction. That way lies what they call crazy fox zen, yakko zen. You're going to turn into a crazy, despicable fox. That's what's going to happen. You're going to have all this knowledge, all this theory, but then you're not going to be able to actually embody it, and it's going to slowly destroy you from the inside, and you're going to wreak havoc in your life and with everybody else around you. So be careful. If you really love the theory, then honor the theory by putting it into practice, and then that will create more space for more advanced theory in the future. And in the future, I'll be introducing a lot of really cool but subtle and advanced concepts that you will not be able to follow unless you do the work now. So start laying the practical foundation, and then from that, it's going to be like we're building a pyramid or a ziggurat, right? We're building layer upon layer upon layer with this work. So if you really like the subtle stuff, then get the basics down. Handle the fundamentals. Then you can have your dessert.